A few weeks ago, we reported that victims of domestic violence are staying in shelters longer than they used to, in part because it's gotten harder for them to find jobs and affordable housing. We turn now to a different aspect of domestic violence, children. When a victim decides to leave an abuser, there are often battles over custody. Donna Platon heads the Domestic Violence Legal Assistance Program at UW, and Wyoming Public Radio's Willow Belden spoke with her about legal battles she often sees. She says abusive fathers ask for and receive custody of the children more often than you might expect.
There's a common misperception that women always get custody of the children, but in fact, when it is a contested custody case, even if it doesn't involve domestic violence, men get custody of the children more often than women do in contested custody cases.
Really? More often?
Yes, more often. And nearly all states have some provision that concerns domestic violence when guiding judges to determine what is in a child's best interest. But unfortunately, we have a statute like that as well in Wyoming, but unfortunately doesn't give a lot of guidance about how much weight is to be placed on domestic violence. So, for example, if you have a perpetrator of domestic violence who makes more money, maybe is keeping the home, has transportation, has a job, whereas the victim of domestic violence may not be in such a secure position, especially at the time that the relationship is dissolving. That the time of separation is a very important point in a victim of domestic violence life. And she may have some struggles that she has to get over in order to get back on her feet again.
Just going along with that, though, is if the father actually is or the perpetrator actually is in sort of logistically a better situation and has a job and has an income and things like that, might he not be the better parent?
Some people don't believe there is a correlation between, let's say, a man that beats his wife and whether or not that person is going to be a good parent. But research really indicates otherwise. Research indicates that the attitudes and the behaviors that led that person to use power and control in an adult relationship, in an intimate partner relationship, if that person doesn't seek out specific treatment for that kind of behavior, then there's no reason to think that it won't continue in the way that if it's a he, in the way that he raises his children. And when they're not accountable, when perpetrators of domestic violence are not accountable for their behavior, children see that. And it sends a really strong message to the children about what kind of behavior is acceptable in a relationship. And so that is not a good thing for children to be learning about. There are statistics that say that men who beat their wives, 50 to 75% of them also abuse their children.
So in other words, the children would be more likely to be abused and then might be more likely to become abusers themselves because they've seen that as their role model.
There's a very strong correlation of that. That's really, I think, the true cycle of violence. I believe that domestic violence is learned behavior and that it's reinforced in all different institutions in society, and that that's where you learn how to act and what is appropriate. And some kids see which parent is the more powerful parent, and they may actually side more with the abusive parent. Those are the children, I believe, that are at the highest risk of perpetrating similar violence later on in their lives.
And so if we know this, if we know that it's better for children not to be with the perpetrator, even if maybe they're in a better sort of life situation logistically, if we know all that, why would courts still side with the perpetrator and give custody of the children to the perpetrators?
I believe it is a lack of understanding about the dynamics of domestic violence, and that unfortunately, people that might be involved in the legal system who don't have an awareness of the dynamics of domestic violence, who see this as just a conflict between two people, who think that if these two people just separate from one another, all of this violence is going to stop, that they just unwittingly perpetuate the stereotypes of a victim of domestic violence, and that they don't understand why doesn't she just leave. They don't understand why there might not be police reports, why there might not be medical records, why somebody would stay in a relationship longer than we think that she should have stayed in that relationship. And so there's a lot of denial, a lot of minimization, and a lot of blame that goes on by many that are involved in the legal system.
Do you see a need for a change in the legal structure here in terms of, you know, what factors the courts should be considering when they're looking at child custody cases?
There is something called the National Council of Juvenile and Family Court Judges, and they have some really good guidelines for factors that judges should consider when there's a case that comes up where there is domestic violence. And some of those include whether there's a history of domestic violence, whether or not the perpetrator of domestic violence has successfully completed any treatment specific to the violence. If there's substance abuse, they need to get treatment for that. And recognizing that there might be an unequal balance of power or bargaining capability between the parties, which requires a more careful review of the custody arrangement before there's approval of the court. And so I think just having judges be aware of the dynamics of domestic violence, having attorneys that are representing the parties understand the dynamics of domestic violence, having judges hold perpetrators accountable whenever they are in court, having other professionals like guardians ad litem who represent children in private custody cases, it's really important that they not perpetuate some of the stereotypes about domestic violence as well. So just getting people informed and having an understanding about the impacts not only on the adults that are involved, but also on the children that are involved.
So it's really not so much a question of not having the right laws in place, but just people needing to be better educated about domestic violence and the dynamics there.
You know, I think so. Some states have a clear rebuttable presumption factor in their custody statutes, which say that evidence of domestic violence shall be deemed contrary to a child's best interest, and that a perpetrator of domestic violence should not get either sole or joint custody of the children. We have such a statute, but our courts have interpreted that to mean it's just one factor of many to be considered. And so other factors can kind of cancel out the domestic violence. So if there were anything that we would do to our statutes, I think it would be to make that a clear, rebuttable presumption against awarding custody or joint custody to perpetrators of domestic violence.
Okay. Well, Donna Platon, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.